Hello there. It seems like only yesterday that we were beginning our exploration of 1968 with the hit musical Oliver. And yet here we are at the end of our semester. Even though it seems that winter will never end, our class is coming to a close, much to my regret. The end of a term, however, is a good time to reflect on the films we've seen and the conversations we've shared, and I'd like to begin our final discussion with this recording today. As in other years, 1968 was a time when many different currents came together in Hollywood. As we've noted, the studio system, with its recognizable names such as MGM and Warner Brothers, its huge shooting spaces and rosters of stars, directors, and writers, was losing the economic clout it had enjoyed since the 1930s. This process accelerated in the 1970s when the moguls who had developed that system began to sell off their companies, as Jack Warner did with Warner Brothers, and retire or die. The system of censorship that had controlled depictions of sex and violence in films since the 1930s also came apart by the end of the 1960s, when foreign films that were not subject to censorship entered the U.S. market, and when some American producers simply ignored demands to remove scenes or language in films such as Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. In November 1968, the production code, the long list of activities that had been banned from Hollywood films since 1934, was replaced by an early version of our current rating system. Films were rated G, M for mature, R for restricted to over 16 unless accompanied by an adult, and X for no one under 16 at all. At the same time that social protest marked cities across the country, restraints on films loosened as well. So the next time you see a G or a PG rating, you can say to yourself, that all started in 1968. Hollywood, though, has often continued along more traditional paths at the same time that it acknowledged new directions. In 1968, films such as Funny Girl, Bullet, The Lion in Winter, and The Green Berets featured rags-to-riches stories, action adventures, historical epics, and military heroes that would have felt familiar to audiences in the past. Some popular genres took a new twist this year, with Rosemary's Baby energizing the horror film, The Thomas Crown Affair adding a stylish twist to caper films, and Planet of the Apes reconfiguring science fiction. Other films went far beyond playing with genre conventions to turn them inside out, as Once Upon a Time in the West did with the Western, and 2001 A Space Odyssey did for science fiction. Filmmakers in 1968 reworked and sometimes even subverted the usual norms of blocking, framing, lighting, and movement, as we've seen. The emerging cinema verite style that we found in Faces and High School featured handheld cameras, high contrast lighting, improvisational acting, and music that was more than a soundtrack but became a commentary on the action. This trend of continuity with change is especially notable when we look at the stars of the 1960s. Some of them were stars who emerged in the 1950s. Such as Elizabeth Taylor, Paul Newman, and Sidney Poitier. But in the 1960s, they were joined by new luminaries such as Julie Andrews, Dustin Hoffman, and Mia Farrow. Just for the fun of it, I looked up stars of today who were born in 1968. It's quite a list. Cuba Gooding Jr., LL Cool J, Molly Ringwald, Bond, James Bond, Daniel Craig, Celine Dion, Will Smith, Naomi Watts, Hugh Jackman, and Lucy Liu. This roster of talented actors who entertain and inspire us today is further proof of the continuing impact of 1968 in film. But as we've noted, the films of 1968 were more than Hollywood releases. What continues to fascinate us about this year was how films responded to and sometimes even became involved in the social and political movements of the time. There is a long tradition of documentaries serving as a form of social commentary, going back to the 1920s and not only in the United States. But in 1968, documentaries such as In the Year of the Pig and films on National Educational Television, the forerunner of PBS, shaped audiences' view of the Vietnam War as it was being waged. In the Year of the Pig changed viewers' understanding of history itself. Filmmakers questioned not only the norms of directing and writing, but the role of journalists who were covering history as it was being made. Medium Cool began as a fiction film, but eventually incorporated real-life elements when the filmmakers became caught up in the Democratic Convention in Chicago. The often-quoted phrase, "Watch out, Haskell, it's real," sums up the unexpected situations that some filmmakers found themselves in when being behind the camera was no guarantee of safety. The 1960s was also a time when avant-garde filmmaking flourished, just as long-established political institutions lost the trust of many. Long-established Hollywood norms felt too restrictive to filmmakers such as Andy Warhol or Bill Greaves in Symbiopsycho Taxiplasm or even the famous Disney animator Ward Kimball in Escalation. New kinds of movie theaters and new kinds of critics brought foreign films and more experimental films to the attention of audiences in major cities such as New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, but also through magazines and books that reached across the country. Our film this week, George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, pulls together a number of themes we've discussed this semester. The film connects with the social and political events of 1968 in many ways through allegory and symbolism. And your reading for this week argues that the film can also be seen as a reference to Vietnam. Getting at the deeper meanings of films has been one of our goals this semester, and I look forward to one more evening together of doing just that. Thank you for a wonderful semester.